And the meeting is, oops, sorry, bear with me. The meeting is again being recorded at 10:38 as well. Dr. King?
Thank you.
Members of the board, we are on agenda item 9C, case 2115, James Kester, PT. Is Mr. Kester present?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. And is patient AW present by chance?
I believe Ms. Heppe has talked to her and she declined participating. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Mindy, will you give us a review, please?
Sure. This patient, AW, filed a complaint with the board. She alleged that Mr. Kester engaged in substandard care by having his staff instruct her in exercises that were contraindicated. She also alleged that Mr. Kester engaged in unethical conduct when he did not listen to her concerns, lacked empathy, and was emotionally abusive to her. This case is for your review.
Thank you. Mr. Kester, are you okay answering questions from the board?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Mr. Kester, this is Joshua Greer. Did you ever provide any treatment to AW?
I did not. I never had any direct involvement in her care.
You did have one interview with her where you kind of heard her grievances, but you didn't provide any treatment. Is that my understanding?
That's correct.
Okay. I don't have any further questions. I would move to dismiss this case.
Second. King, second. Any discussion? Questions?
Mr. Harris, this is just a minor thing. Since it's an initial review, is it more appropriate just do nothing rather than dismiss?
No. Take this
like action. Take no action?
Yeah.
I think we've opened a complaint, so we need to dismiss it.
That is correct.
No, you're right. 2115. Okay, all right. My bad.
Thank you. All right, if there's no further discussion, let's call the vote, please.
It's been moved and seconded to dismiss case 2115, James Kester, PT. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Castillo?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you, Mr. Kester.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Okay. Agenda item 9D, Dr. Jason Nielsen, Director of Chiropractic, West Valley Wellness and Rehab. Is Dr. Nielsen on the call?
He was provided an opportunity, sent the invitation, and I understand from Ms. Chepius that he declined the invitation.
Thank you. Right. And do you want to give us an update of the case and any changes?
Sure. We received a complaint October 15th that was from a physical therapist who recognized that this particular practice, West Valley Wellness and Rehab, had been advertising physiotherapy on their website. And the PT was aware that they did not have any physical therapists on staff. I made contact with the owner of the business, Dr. Jason Nielsen. He's a chiropractor. I contacted him on 11/23. We had a variety of conversations, emails going back and forth. I provided him with the AG's opinion on the exclusive use of the word physiotherapy. That opinion was attached for the board's review. There was continued ongoing. I continue to monitor that website, continue to have conversation with Dr. Nielsen about removing that from his website. It did not change up until I looked at the website on I think it was last week, actually, that I noticed I was talking with Ms. Chepius and Mr. Harris and went out to look to see if it had changed as we were looking at the agenda. And it had been changed. He had removed it. I included the screen print for you. But I think the reason that this is actually on your case is that it hadn't changed, you know, up to the point that we were finalizing the agenda. But this is also a case for your review regarding the title protection related to the use of the terms that are exclusive for physical therapist practice. We don't see these that often, and I don't know that we've had one recently, but in the spirit of not making assumptions, we thought it best if the board review this matter.
Yeah, and Mindy, if it's okay, just to follow up a little bit on what you just said, Dr. King, members of the board, as Mindy just explained, she spent a disproportionate amount of time to get the chiropractor to either make appropriate adjustments to his practice or to correct his website. And in essence, despite Mindy's best efforts to informally work this out, as we always do, or at least that's always our intent, to informally just educate and get them to comply with the law, it actually took the scheduling of this matter on your board agenda for him to finally make the modifications to the website and ensure that it's compliant with not only the chiropractic laws, but the laws of physical therapy. And it was actually, as Mindy just said, in real time as staff were meeting to prepare for today's meeting, that Mindy just went online to see that he had finally made those adjustments. Again, that was February 17th. It was a little bit too late to take it off the agenda. And so that's why the matter is here. We got the appropriate result. It just took scheduling it before the board to finally get him to take the appropriate action that was initially, requested. And I hope that was fair, Mindy.
Yeah, I think, we had somebody who had 3 months, took well over 3 months to make a change and had the advantage of that use of that term to the public for that amount of time. I don't know how long that's been out there, but prior to the complaint.
We have no jurisdiction to discipline the chiropractor office, so I would move to take no action. I appreciate the efforts of staff to get this rectified, and I understand it wasn't as easy as it should have been, but I don't think we waste any more time with this. But I'm not a PT, so I don't care as much about this issue as some other people may, but I would move to take no action.
I second that, but I also truly appreciate knowing the diligence in which you go to educate and to try and make sure that when there's something like this, where there's a use of a protected title inappropriately, that we are aware of it and take steps to protect the public with making sure that that is taken down quickly. So I appreciate it. Thank you, Mindy.
I think the other thing that I would want to mention too is that from a precedent standpoint, I know we haven't heard one of these cases in a while, but the chiropractic board does have jurisdiction. And I believe in the past we have sent letters to the chiropractic board notifying them of this issue. So I don't know if Mr. Harris wants to add anything to that, but we did discuss if that's an option for this board.
No, go ahead, Mr. Leone.
This is kind of along what Mindy's saying. Is it what if we filed a complaint with the chiropractic board?
I don't necessarily know that we would be filing a complaint with the board, rather than advising them of the issues that were presented to our board and the steps that we took to resolve it. And then leave it up to them whether or not to open up a complaint or address it. But again, I want to be consistent with your past practices. And if it was something like, you know, having the board file a complaint with another state agency, then, you know, unless
I don't believe in my history with the board that we actually filed a formal complaint. I believe that Dr. Donahue would send a letter of information and a summary of that to the, it wasn't just chiropractic board. We had massage therapy. We've had other boards that we sent letters to. Depending on the issue.
Given that information, Mr. Gurr, are you comfortable with take no action versus send a letter of notification to the chiropractic board, take no action from our side? Or
in my view, the matter's been resolved and addressed, and you know, I would just say we're done. I would continue with the motion. That doesn't mean I'm not going to vote in favor of another motion. I lose.
Any other discussion from the board members or thoughts or concerns about moving forward to a vote?
I felt like my concerns were, or my questions rather, were answered. But my main question was just what action can we actually take on somebody who's not a licensed PT and is on for another board? But it sounds like that's been answered.
Did Mr. Greer's motion ever get seconded?
Mm-hmm. I did.
I think so. Okay.
Okay. If there's no further discussion, then Judy, let's call the vote, please.
It's been moved and seconded to take no action against Dr. Jason Nielsen, DC, West Valley Wellness and Rehab. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Gurr?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
No.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall?
No.
Motion passes.
Thank you. All right, and then agenda item 9E. Review and consideration of opening an investigation, JK. Mindy, you want to?
This is actually Judy's case.
This one's me.
Judy? Okay, thank you. Judy? Yeah.
On January 22nd, 2022, staff received a notice of an adverse action filed against James B. Kreischer of the by the Kentucky Board of Physical Therapy for failure to comply with continuing education requirements. The matter is presented to the board for review and potential actions.
Thank you. So if I remember correctly reading it, the adverse action was based on CEU compliance or non-compliance, I guess, for CEUs.
Right, failure to comply with continuing education requirements.
Yeah.
Can we, I mean, is JK... I guess he's a therapist, so we can refer to him by his name. But is he current in Arizona?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's currently got an active PTA certificate. It was initially certified in May of 2016.
Okay. For continuity purposes, have we in the past taken action when folks fail to meet their CEU requirements in a different state but are current in ours?
I believe
whenever there's discipline in another stage, it comes before the board to see what, if anything, we want to do about it.
Right.
I don't.
I'm curious if you've taken any action.
I don't think I've seen a situation where we've addressed this particular issue in another state.
The only thing I would be interested in is since he has a certificate in Arizona, has he completed the necessary continuing educations in Arizona? And the question comes up is, hey, he has problem in another state documenting continuing education. Does he have the same problem in Arizona?
Right. That would be my concern as well. And it,
So that would require probably an audit then of his CEUs that he attested to having completed when he renewed in 2020, right?
Yeah.
So it sounds like we want to revoke open investigation.
So is that a motion, Mr. Greer, to move to opening investigation?
It is a motion.
Second.
Well, let me, Mr. Greer, Dr. King, members of the board, let me just ask a question. In the past, how would the board go about conducting an audit of a professional's CE?
After a renewal cycle. Audit letters are sent out to a random sample of licensees or certificate holders. And then that audit is performed by staff to verify whether or not they have met the requirements. And if not, the matter is brought to the board for discussion and decision.
Because, you know, I'm just thinking rather than opening up a complaint, I don't know that there's anything that prohibits the board just from asking staff to conduct an audit of his continuing education. And if that audit comes back with issues at that point, you could then open up a complaint against the professional.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Harris, would that be open? So I think auditing someone outside of what we normally do, random audits, would that require a process that's captured in the minutes of the meeting? You know what I mean? It's not a normal process.
Yes, if that is something that is of interest to the board, I would ask that be directed in the form of a motion to move to direct staff to perform a CE audit based upon his most recent renewal application.
Do we risk due process issues, Mr. Harris, by not formally providing him notice that there is an investigation out there? Wouldn't it be more prudent just to open an investigation if we're going to do this and have this be part of the investigation?
You absolutely could. The only thing that, again, what I was thinking is having a complaint against, this licensee, if it ultimately determines that the audit is fine and you dismiss it, he'll always have that complaint opened against him in Arizona. And yet you would still have the opportunity to open up a complaint if you just conducted a CE audit on, direct staff to do that based upon the information that you have from the other state. But it's entirely up to you, Mr. Greer, members of the board.
So for his record, it's best if we don't open a complaint in the event that everything turns out to be clean.
I don't know that I'd use the word best, and if I did, I apologize. It's just he'll have that on his – that can't be undone.
Got it.
I think the only issue with doing that, though, is that he still has 5 months in Arizona to complete 10 hours of CE before our next renewal period. So he's not even required for the past half to actually have done anything.
But he would have to show proof of the previous
previous compliance period.
Yeah, I think it would have been 2018 to 2020. If he attested on his renewal in 2020 that he completed the CEUs based on the Kentucky action, kind of gives, like it warrants, if he wasn't honest there, if there was discrepancy there, might there have been discrepancy here as well?
So we still have a motion and a second, correct? I think we have go with current motion. I don't see it. Cancel us, start over. So
yeah, and actually, in Dr. Cornwell, members of the board, in taking a look at your continuing competence rule, which is on page 19, it's 401. It does say with respect to audit, the licensee is subject to board auditing for continuing competence compliance. As Judy indicated, selection for audit shall be random and notice of audit sent within 60 calendar days. So based upon that and not seeing a more general authority for the board to conduct, you know, audits as it deems appropriate, perhaps, you know, we should stay with Mr. Greer's initial motion to open up an investigation, and then as part of that investigation, conduct an audit of his most recent renewal application.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Thank you.
So I just took 5 minutes of the board's time. I apologize.
Hey, we all learned something. I appreciate it. I always
as long as we end up with the right answer, we don't care, Mr. Harris.
No, it's good education for us. I appreciate it. So let's go ahead and call the vote for the motion. Do you want to review the motion again, Judy?
Please.
Thanks.
Who did the second?
I did.
Oh. King.
King or Leone?
We both did.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so it has been moved and seconded to open a complaint. Please correct me if I'm wrong, to open a complaint to do an audit of JK's 2020 renewal. Continue education to make sure he met requirements.
Yes.
That, Mr. Harris, that'll work. So
it does. Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Basile.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Mr. Barton.
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move into agenda item 10, board business report.
Reminder, please clean high touch surfaces.
Okay. Agenda item A. Mindy or Judy, do you want to give us an update regarding PT Association discussion topics?
Right. This is me. So at its December 21st, 2021 meeting, the board heard a presentation from Brian Schmitz, president of the Arizona Physical Therapy Association. At that time, the board requested that three topics from Mr. Schmitz's presentation be agendized for discussion at future meetings. Since that time, one of the topics was agendized for February and one was set to, or excuse me, January, and one was set to be agendized for February. Since that time, Mr. Schmidt sent an email to staff outlining the current status of those three discussion topics and indicated that further discussion by the board on behalf of the Arizona Physical Therapy Association is not necessary. And the summary he provided was supplied in your documents. But to paraphrase it, the medical imaging discussion that was had in January, the Arizona Physical Therapy Association is moving forward with legislation on that behalf. There is a Senate bill currently under consideration and navigating the process with respect to medical imaging. And a copy of the most current version of that bill was presented in your packets as well. With respect to the professional regulatory designation, the Arizona chapter has consulted with the national APTA organization and decided to withdraw any change in regulatory designation at this time. They anticipate they might revisit it in the future, and at that time we'll bring it forth to the board again if necessary. And with respect to compensation, reimbursement for PT compact privilege holders with respect to certain agencies, the Arizona Physical Therapy Association is again working with a senator to directly address those concerns with the with the insurance companies in question. So this information is just presented for your information and because you had requested agendizing in future meetings. So just to give you a status update and to remove it from any future discussion at this point.
Thank you for closing the loop on that. Perfect. Okay. Judy, you want to continue to give us an update on agenda item 10B on all the things that are coming up ahead of you?
So we have a very busy year coming our way. This information is, again, just provided for your information. It's not necessarily that everything is fully fleshed out. We don't have details on a lot of it yet. But just in the very direct future, board staff is going to be engaging in a variety of events, reviews, whatever you care to term it. We've, of course, got the sunset review coming that is due to be placed. And I apologize that my inexperience, I don't have all the correct terminology of how this actually works, but the sunset review statute, our deadline date is October of 2023, so it has to be presented to continue our agency at that time. Therefore, the sunset review process is going to begin before that. We anticipate that will be this summer. We haven't had any kind of firm clarification on that. We have been in discussions with it. We were offered, and Karen handled this originally, but we were offered an opportunity to have them present to us, and they recommended early in this year, early in 2022, to do that. I've made the request for that presentation, but I've not heard a lot of response yet. They said that they're focusing on their cases that have to come up in October of 2022, so they didn't know when it was going to be possible. So we don't know if or when we'll receive that. We also, this is a renewal year for us. We have licenses and certificates all renewing. We anticipate that the portal will be open in July. And it will extend all the way through July and August. And then end September 1st, at which point anybody who did not renew will begin the reinstatement process. Following the renewal, we've got a continuing competence audit, which we mentioned earlier. There's going to be a random selection of auditees. We will be communicating with them and getting their continuing education and reviewing all of that. That has to begin within 60 calendar days following the renewal. So that puts that sometime September or October that process will begin. We have been informed that all of the agency websites are going to be updated. We're developing currently our requirements for that. It's a case of kind of letting them know how we want to proceed and then standing in line and waiting for them to get to us. So we don't know when that will occur, but it's highly likely it'll be concurrent with some of these other events. And then we were also recently informed that our entire licensing and complaint platform is going to change. We are working with that company as well. That is a complete overhaul, and while some of the elements of it look exciting, it's also a bit daunting. We've done this once before, and it was less than smooth, so we're hoping to make every effort to try to make this more smooth. We are also, coincidentally, because the last transition happened in a renewal year as well, we have already put the request in that this avoid the renewal process, that we're allowed to continue our renewals in the way that everybody has been, has learned to do it, giving our users a chance to maybe become familiar with it moving forward. But, you know, there is no way to eliminate all the pain points with a transition that encompassing. So, again, we're at the very, very early stages. Later this week, I have an appointment to discuss some of the strategic planning of it. It's highly likely, because this agency this vendor has been given 18 months to switch all of the agencies. It's highly likely that this will be occurring while Sunset is going on, potentially while the audit is going on. Again, our biggest crossed fingers moment is to skip renewals. After that, the chips are going to fall where they may, and we'll do what we can to work through it all. So again, this is presented for your information. So if you have any questions, we can answer to the best of our ability.
Thank you, Judy. I really appreciate focusing on trying to bypass renewal. It was such a nightmare when they first rolled out the last time, and it's such a tough thing to track who got in, who didn't. Oh, so I'm really hopeful that they hear you.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Judy, I think you said board financials. We don't have anything back yet as of this agenda. Is that correct?
No, it landed just a couple days ago. So okay, there is a screenshot in your packet.
Okay, perfect.
And I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
Is that something we need to approve or just review?
No, it's just presented for your information, just a monthly review, monthly viewing of it, I guess.
Okay, thank you. Oh, I see it. Board members, any questions at all about the financials? It looks like it's for Q3, 4, and then January, February, right?
Right. So we get it. We get it mid-month. Generally speaking, we get it mid-month with the prior month's totals added in. Of course, we have passed a pay period in January. We have had applications submitted in February. We have had applications submitted in February as well. So you will see some numbers in February, but those are nowhere near final. One of the other things that I wanted to let you know is recently, in February, we received, through all of this transition, there have been some bills that have not actually made it to us. Now, and I know last year there were problems with CSB and they went through an entire overhaul. CSB is the agency that does our receivables and payables once we approve payment. But there's been some transitional issues that we are trying to get a handle on and understand the root of the problem so we can correct them. But there have been a few instances where we have gotten months of one particular bill all at one time. So, for example, that happened in December. We got several months from our ADOA asset billing, and why they come in those kind of chunks, I don't understand, but we're working with CSB to try to pinpoint the issues so we can overcome them and get our monthly bills on a monthly basis. So we're a little more accurate with some of these numbers. So that's in process now.
It's hard to budget when you don't have those things coming in on a regular basis.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Any questions at all or concerns about the financials? Okay, thank you. All right, and then agenda E, review of licenses and certificates. I do want to make sure the board recognizes also that we're going to be adding reinstatements to this list as well as business approval. So it's just been certificates and licenses in the past, but we would like to capture all of the work that's happening around this. And so we're going to be adding the number of reinstatements as well as businesses approved for the future. Did I miss anything on that, Judy, or?
No, there was, you'll see on this month's agenda that there was one reinstatement application that went through. There were no business entities. So that category wasn't added, but yes, moving forward, we'll capture all of that information.
Great. Thank you. Okay. We're at the future agenda items.
I have one future agenda item, and Mr. Harris, you may have to jump in and tell us the appropriate way to do this. But it appears to me that we have some responsibility for determining salary and raise structures for our staff. And I think it is time that we look at that and address whether there needs to be any action taken as far as our staff's current salaries and whether or not we need to make changes there. So, Mr. Harris, I assume we just agendize that and then we'll discuss that either in executive session or publicly as the need may arise. Is that correct?
That is, and I would be more than happy in conjunction with, you know, ADOA to work with Judy on the appropriate agenda language so that you'll be able to have a discussion and review of that.
Okay, and I would ask that we'd also be able to take action regarding
sure.
salaries for that agendization.
I think for that, I'm just curious, for that conversation, should we have similar information that we had as far as ranges, rates, you know, caps, things like that for each particular position?
As much information as possible that'll help us. So if we have an idea of what individuals in other agencies with similar qualifications and time in the system, that would help us to know whether or not we're on track or we're behind or whatever.
The other thing I would like to know is I'd like to know when the last time we provided raises were and what those raises were.
Okay. Currently at this time, with respect to my position, I don't have the necessary permissions yet to see that kind of information as I've been interim at this point. We can certainly work with HR to kind of come up with that. The other thing that will need to be mentioned is that this agency functions on an appropriation and a full-time employee limit, and it has to be budgeted in, and it has to have room in the budget in order to make those things happen. That's not to say that's not the case, that there isn't that information. But at this point, it's not clearly fleshed out just yet, especially with respect to the budget and the nature of the bills that we're getting.
Yeah.
Judy, do we think we're going to be finalized enough that we could address both whether we have any room in the budget to make those changes and also are we going to have a good enough idea of the budget next month to be able to make those calls?
So budgets are submitted a year in advance. So the 2023 budget has been submitted. We have not yet received word back on the final appropriations. And as I understand it, we won't necessarily receive that until I think June is when we anticipate seeing that for 2023, and then we'll be responsible for submitting it in August for fiscal year 2024 as well. I do know that the governor's budget provided some direction, and it included a variety of information included in this this platform transition, because that's going to be costing some money as well. So the governor's budget has been put through with significant increase at this point, but that's still, it's my understanding that it has to go through the legislative process to be approved or adjusted or whatever. So we don't yet fully know, but as I understand it, there are ways to perhaps at the end of the year, and I'm only speaking on limited knowledge, but I believe at the end of the year or the end of the fiscal year, which ends June 30th, that we should be able to have some advanced knowledge. So with respect to salaries and things like that, you know, the discussion can go forth. I imagine you would have the ability to say something, you know, as long as the budget allowed for XYZ, or there could also be some meritorial And Judy, ways to provide it for meritorious.
And Judy, members of the board, you know, I want to make sure, Mr. Barton, that your question was answered, but I don't want to go too far in because it isn't agendized. And Judy, maybe if we can kind of gather all of this information and then, you know, put it on the agenda so that we can present it and have a more robust discussion and possible action at that time.
Yes. My apologies. You're absolutely right, Ms. Trainer.
No.
Okay, thank you. Any other future agenda items to consider? All right, then do I have a motion to adjourn?
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded to adjourn. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
The meeting is adjourned at 11:19, and we will be stopping the recording at the same time. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
See you next month.